that there are pestilent conditions in our life, we have to have a personal connection. But then we have to understand that there's a posture change. Look at this. He says, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves, there has to be a posture change, because so many times people are proud. Oh yeah, come on and say amen. I'm proud to be Methodist. I'm proud to be Baptist. I'm proud to be a tongue-talking Pentecostal. I'm proud. But at some point, we have to learn how to humble ourselves. He said, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I wish I had somebody. We have to have a posture change, because we're preachers. We can't get in ourselves and say that we are so proud and nobody can't do or say anything to us. Sometimes we're wrong. We got to understand sometimes we're not always right. And I'm not telling you to chastise the preacher, but I'm telling you that we can't get built up in ourselves. Amen.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Psalm number 53, verse 1. And as young brother James say, when you have it, say amen. 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 All right, begin reading now.
The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. My brothers and sisters, as David speaks these words, he is uttering these words for the second time. The first time he utters these words is in the 14th number of Psalm. And he feels the need again at this time in Israel's history to repeat them again. One of the things that I find interesting about David and this psalm is because David if anybody knows and understands what a fool is and what a fool does, is David himself. For David said, I have played the fool. In other words, he's saying, I have been in the role of a fool. I've done some foolish things. And he knows what it takes to make up that of a fool. And so one of the things I hope and pray that our young people will hold fast to the fact is that God does not want his people to be foolish people. God does not want his people to stand out as those who know not God or do not believe there is a God. He wants them to walk in the fullness of his word, of his will, and of his way. I pray for our young people and cover them that this year, as they walk in this world, but not of it, that they demonstrate how to be good, Christian, solid young people. I want to thank God for Reverend Mays and praying and covering them. And I want to ask the parents to make sure that you continually keep the prayers flowing over your children. If there ever was a time parents and people of God needed to cover our young people, it's right now. Listen at what David says. The fool hath said in his heart. There are actually six words. I won't have the time to go through all of them because we've had a lot done thus far. But I'm going to give them to you, and you can look them up and try and get into a little bit of a minute in your devotional time. One is fool. The second is heart. The third is God. The fourth is what's the C word there? Corrupt. The fifth is what's the next? Abomination. And what's the next one? Iniquity. Those are the words I want you to look up, and I want you to recognize that though those words are there for a reason, the understanding of those words are what I want you to grasp. If you look at this verse, that 25 words in this verse, and they unfold the truths concerning and connected with the thrust of the heart. With heart. The heart. Now, you've got to recognize that folk do foolish things in their heads, in their minds, but it truly stems from their heart. From the heart flows the issues of life. One of the things you're going to recognize is everything that is evil, everything that is ungodly, everything that is unlike the Lord is found in man and in the heart. When David talks about the fool, it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve were blessed and were whole and were full and fruitful, they believed God. They loved God. They operated in God. But when they decided to believe Satan and go against what God said, they became fools because Satan fooled them into believing that God was a liar, that God had not spoken the truth when he said, if you shall eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. And so therefore, when they chose to believe Satan over God, they became fools. But they were fools, listen, who passed down death-carrying, polluted blood to all mankind, beginning with Cain and Abel. And all along that line, that bloodline, foolish blood in every human vein flows. And there is a way that we can change our reality from being foolish to faithful by coming back into a right relationship with God. The fool had said in his heart, the word heart is connected with several words. It has to do with the inner man. It has to do with the will of man. It has to do with the heart of man, the passion and appetite of man. It's all of that's in the heart as well. But here's what is important to understand. That God wants us to know that if you're going to reach man, you need to aim for his heart. I don't care how much we try to intellectualize man. I don't care how much we try to syllogistically deduce cause from effect to effect, and how much we try to educate man. It can never change the heart with education alone. You need to change the heart with the salvation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if there is no salvation, then forever will they remain fools. Fools. Again, out of all that's being said here, the heart is the focus and force of our understanding in this verse. The fool hath said in his heart. It doesn't say that he uttered it out of his mouth, does it? It said he said it in his heart. And so because he said it in his heart, that's the true center of his belief system. Listen, the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? Doth the mouth speak? But listen at this here. You got to know that's where the devil works on us as well. Our minds and our hearts, our heads and our hearts. But here's what's important to understand, that God knows that if there's going to be a true change, it can't just be a head change. It has to be a heart change. So it says, so the fool had said in his heart, there is no God, no God. Now, when it says no God, it's not talking about here referring to no Jehovah or Yahweh, who is the supreme God and Lord. But here when he says no God, it's talking about Elohim, Elohim, which refers to the magistrate of God, the God who sits up high, as the old folks say, and look down low and judges the affairs of men and bring condemnation upon them, etc. They're saying that there is no God like that, which means that there are those who belong to the group that said there is no hell. Now, if you hadn't made a reservation for heaven, it's easy to think then that there is no hell. Why is it easy to think there is no hell? Because you don't want to believe that if you don't go to heaven, that you're going to end up in hell. Listen, you can't go through hell, deal with hell, be a part of hell, then die and go to hell and not know that hell is real. All you gotta do is live and be real, and you'll see hell is real. But hell was not made for the people of God, nor for humans. Hell was made for Satan and his angels, his fallen demons, all of those who are connected with him. But because mankind, made in God's image and God's likeness, was God's desire to plenish the earth and to live and to go and to live forever actually here on planet earth until Satan messed it up with Adam taking on the dictates and temptations of Eve and Eve taking them on of Satan. And so one thing about a fool is that a fool will follow another fool.
All right, doctor. All right.
I was so glad to hear what I heard about these young ladies today. You can tell they're leaders. You can tell those who see them will follow them. They've got their head on right. They got their heart right. They come from good stock. There were parents who led them the right way and is focusing them on things that make for good and not for bad. They're spending their time wisely and making a future, as the old folks say, for themselves.
Come on, doctor.
And that's what we want to keep, positive young role models before our people. We hear all of these difficult things on the news, on the television, on TikTok, on Facebook, all of these other things, all negative and deplorable and down speaking and down talking our young people. You got some good young people doing some good things that we need to spotlight and highlight like we did today.
Come on, doctor.
To show all young people aren't foolish young people. But listen at this. So they're trying to say that there is no God. If there is no God, then there is no fear of God. If there is no God, then there is no reverence for God. If there's no God, then there's no respect for God. If there's no God, then there's no one that they have to look up to or change what they do and how they do to please him. But listen to what the word says. Corrupt are they.
Yes, sir.
Or they are corrupt. Now, I looked up the word corrupt, and here are three words that I want you to hold on to if you're writing, jot this down. One of the words for corrupt is sour. Sour. S-O-U-R. The second word, it's important because it tells us that after it is soured, something else happens. Have you ever had anything in your box, and they associated this with drinks that went sour, but then there is something else. What about meat? What happens when meat moves over to the next place beyond sour? I heard it. It spoils. It spoils. And the third one is this. Have you ever seen an animal on the side of the road, or you happen to be walking past, or if you're riding in a car and somebody hit a skunk or something, and it comes all the way through the air condition? It's here's the word, stench. Stench. Corrupt means they are sour, spoiled, and they carry a stench. When it says corrupt, God is saying their sin stink to high heaven. When folks' sin stink like that, it's not easy to tell who's right and who's wrong. And so they are corrupt. Corrupt. And that means this: when they are corrupt, they have the ability to contaminate.
All right, all right.
When they contaminate, how do they contaminate? By coming in contact with something or someone else. That's why in certain cultures, in ancient Eastern cultures, if a man killed another man and he did it unjustifiably. They would take the body of that dead man and they would fasten it on the back of the man that murdered him. And they would cause this man to live the rest of his life with the dead man wrapped around his neck, on his back. Everywhere he goes, they'll see the dead man that he killed. But that wasn't the reason. That might have been one part of it. But here's the real reason. When that body began to decay and the flesh began to rot, and on his back, the germs and the decay and all of that begins eating up his flesh. So while it's decaying and it's corrupt and it's spoiled and it stinks, listen, the same thing happens to his body while he's yet alive. And my brothers and sisters, if they brought stuff like that to us today, I bet you there'd be a whole lot murders less. A whole lot less murders if they had to live like that. And if they tried to take him off, they would be instantly killed. My brothers and sisters, because they are corrupt, they have done abominable iniquities. Psalm number 14, they say abominable works. But here he says abominable iniquities. Now listen, it is important to recognize that there are things that God considers to be abominable. They are detested by God. They are abhorred by God. God hates them with every holiness in him. You remember when God spoke with Lot, he told him he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot came in, tried to intercede for the men and said, God, if I can find 50 good men, would you spare the city? God said, yes. He went to 45, 30, 30, 20, 20, got all the way down to 10. He said, God, listen, I don't try your patience, but can you at least spare the city if you find 10 good men? And God said, yes. But Lot could not find 10 good men. And the sin of homosexuality so got on God's nerves, stunk all the way up to heaven, that God was willing to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, to burn out the sin that had overtaken that city. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. He was willing to give them a chance because he loved the sinner. And if the sin would turn from his or her way, God would receive them as they repent and go before God, asking God to create in them a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within them. He'd do it no matter how low down and dirty your sins are, how much you've done that displeased God in the past. If you are willing to turn around and say, God, I want to be right. I want to do right. I want to be what you want me to be. God will forgive, for cleanse, and turn the situation around. Listen, that's hope for anyone who wants to turn around from their sin. It kept on getting worse and worse and worse. You got your Bible still open, I hope. Turn, we'll go down to verse 2. Read verse 2 right quick. Look at what it says. Wait, God did what? All right. Keep going. Upon who? The children of men. That means earthlings. All right, keep going. He looked down on earth from heaven to see if any did what? Any who would understand, and if they had not understood what God was looking for, that they would seek him at least. Listen, God knows that we don't have it all together. God knows we're not perfect, but at least we ought to be seeking to be perfect, seeking to know God, seeking to have relationship with him, seeking to be on one accord with God. God wants us to be one with him. One with him. He doesn't want us to be separated from him. He wants us to be one with him. God set up high, looked down low, trying to find somebody who would understand his word, his will, and his way.
Yes, sir.
But generation after generation after generation after generation, they became worse and worse and worse and worse until it got to the point where God decided not just to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but to destroy the entire earth by water. He flooded out the earth, and only Noah and his family and every beast and animal that God gave him a list to collect made it onto that ark and were saved. God made it clear that he destroyed this earth by water that time. But this time it won't be water, but fire. Do you notice how hot it's been getting lately? Record numbers. And they don't have no end in sight. People, listen, are dying from stroke and heat strokes and the pressure from being out in the sun, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Listen, I don't know if it's gonna be that the sun's gonna burn up the earth. I don't know if it's gonna be some atomic bomb or some war material, whatever. But here's what I do know, it's gonna be fire. I know that much because the Bible tells me that. But here's what I need you to know. It's all because men are fools.
Yes, sir.
I have one important question I want to ask you this morning. And I want you to answer me in your heart. If you surveyed your own heart, surveyed your own life, surveyed your own dealings, surveyed your own habits, surveyed everything about yourself. Not someone pointing the finger at you, but you looking at the man in the mirror. Can you honestly say that you are or are not a fool?
Come on now.
I think if we'd be honest, at least all of us at one time or another in our lives can say, I played the fool.
Come on, doctor.
And if you can't say it, you're still a fool.
Come on, doctor. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because that fool is that person who is ungodly, that person who has a vile spirit, who has an evil spirit, who walks outside of the word and the will and the way of God, and their folk don't think that they're fools.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of